I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and I'm looking very much forward to bringing you guys another show. Lots and lots to talk about, as always, in the world of Arsenal. We're going to be bringing you the latest on Arsenal's interest in Oleksandr Zinchenko. It was revealed yesterday by David Ornstein that Arsenal had opened talks with Manchester City over the Ukrainian. We are also going to talk a little bit about Omari Hutchinson, who appears to be on his way to Chelsea. We'll be talking about Austin Trusty's loan move to Birmingham City and what his experience might be like there. Lots and lots to get into, as always. And there's plenty of people to say hello to in the live chat. I know that lots of you have been waiting. I know that lots of you have been complaining lightheartedly about the fact that I'm a few minutes late. I'm always a few minutes late. I'm Greek. I was born late. That's just the way it goes. Good to see that although a lot of people get irritated by it, there are a lot of people that actually just expect it now. So it means we're kind of getting to know each other that little bit better. Just before we move on, if you could please leave a like on the video, that would really, really help. And if you're new to the channel and you like what you're seeing and you're enjoying the content this summer, please do hit the subscribe button, because we are now less than 100 subs away from hitting the next milestone, 23,000 here on YouTube. And I'd love to get there, if possible, sooner rather than later. Lots and lots of hellos. I'm not going to go through them individually because we'll be here all afternoon. But thank you all so, so much for your kind words and your greetings in the chat box. John says, afternoon, Harry. Are you doing any radio at Boreham Wood versus Chelsea tonight? Now, of course, I was at Boreham Wood last weekend covering Boreham Wood against Brentford for BBC London. I'm not there, John, but I am on BBC London duty again tomorrow, which I'm really, really looking forward to. Only this time I'm traveling to Reading because I'm covering Reading versus West Ham. So if you've got any interest in that game, of course, Paul Ince facing the club that he started his career at, West Ham United. Paul Ince having to work under some real difficult conditions at Reading, but they welcome Premier League and Europa League semi-finalist West Ham United to their place tomorrow. And I'll be bringing you live updates on BBC Radio London all the way through that one. So if you fancy tuning in, I'd love the support. And any feedback is great, because I'm still new to this stuff. But thank you very much, mate. Really, really appreciate it. Viking H says that Harry is on Greek man Palmer's green time. Yeah, basically, pretty much. What else have we got? CHHS fans says, greetings, Harry, from Texas. You are a baller. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Big hello to Caleb as well, who's joining us from Liberia. We've also got Louis in Arizona as well. And of course, Arsenal are in the States at the moment on their USA tour. And I have to say, before we get into the stories, I'm really, really enjoying Frimi's videos that are coming out from the club. I just think he's such a great character and literally the perfect person to be making that type of content and to be sort of the front man and you know, presenting it and interviewing the players, because he just brings this infectious energy to the whole place. I'm really, really enjoying him, and a big shout out to him, because you know, he's done an amazing job getting to where he is today, and it's fully deserved. And I'm really, really enjoying the content. Every time I get a notification that one of his videos has dropped from the tour, I'm straight there. On the subject, though, of the United States, and you will have noticed over the last few weeks that I've been displaying scarves behind me from various Arsenal supporters clubs across America. And don't worry, I've still got them. I was just having a rearrange of everything, which is why they're not up there behind me. But today, I received another one. And I have to say a massive, massive thank you to the good people over at the Gulf Coast Gooners. Check this bad boy out. Look at this. Look at that. Established in 2010. Fantastic scarf. Sent a few as well. My little boy is chuffed. He really is with the scarf. And what I'm going to do, mate, is I'm going to send you a little video privately, of course. I'm not going to put my kid on YouTube, but yeah, I'm going to send you a little video of his reaction when he got it, because it really is something special. And I'm sure you'll appreciate that as well. So yeah, big, big thank you Really, really do appreciate it. Bear with me. I'm just making sure that everything's coming through nice and loud and clear because, yeah, having some feedback in the mic. Nope, all good. But thank you so, so much, man. Really, really appreciate that from, of course, the brilliant Mr. Sir, your name on the package is your proper name. I'm not gonna say your proper name. Mr. Sir Sabal, thank you so, so much. And members, you'll know who he is in the Discord server. Thank you. Really appreciate that. And got some other really cool stuff. I mean, look at that. Gulf Coast Gooners stickers. Gulf Coast Gooners wristbands. Amazing. And the badge as well. The badge is really cool. Really classy. If the camera ever focuses to it. There you go. Gulf Coast Gooners. Loving it. Thank you all so, so much, man. Really, really do appreciate all the love. Okay, let's get on to the stories that we want to be discussing today. And let's begin with Oleksandr Zinchenko. What is the latest on Arsenal's pursuit of the Ukrainian international? Well, according to Charles Watts, talks are progressing nicely. According to various outlets at the moment, things between Arsenal and Manchester City are moving very, very much in the right direction. And that is really positive news because, you know, we've been linked with a number of players throughout this window and the kind of the first report and the first understanding we've had of the situation is Arsenal have expressed an interview in so-and-so, but they're still not anywhere near the valuation of the player. We've had that so many times this summer, right? We've had it with Rafinha. We've had it with Lisandro Martinez. We thought that we were going to get Yuri Tielemans done and dusted and all wrapped up by now. And actually, we then started to kind of dig into it a little bit deeper. And the more information we were getting, the more clear it was that Arsenal hadn't even made an offer. So to hear that the talks are progressing well just a day after initially hearing that Arsenal would open dialogue with Manchester City about Zinchenko is definitely positive. There is a feeling, as reported by some outlets, that actually this deal could be done in time for Oleksandr Zinchenko to go and join the team on their preseason tour of the United States. The player is said to be open to the move. Manchester City have decided that they're open to allowing him to leave. It's just about that valuation. Personal terms are not believed to be a major problem. I think Arsenal will be quite confident that they can get what they need to done in order to persuade him that Arsenal is the place for him. The relationship, again, between he and Mikel Arteta is really, really important in this. But what is that price point that Manchester City are believed to be kind of putting back across to Arsenal? Well, according to Charles Watts, and I know that he wasn't saying that this is definitely, this is definitely the price, but he mentioned the figure of £35 million. And I said to you guys yesterday that I think that City will probably want something close to 40 and that Arsenal will probably see it at around about 30. And I think that they'll meet somewhere in the middle. So that is in line with what's now coming out today. What I said to you guys yesterday was pretty much in line with what we're hearing today in terms of what the cost is going to be. It looks like it's probably going to be between 30 and 35 million pounds for Arsenal to sign Oleksandr Zinchenko. But when you think of his experience, when you think of the fact that he's just 25 years old, when you think of the fact that he can tick a number of boxes in terms of the positions that he covers, I think actually, it's not the worst price in the world. I know people will turn their noses up at it. And there was somebody who very rightly made the point yesterday that if Gabriel Jesus was £45 million, how the hell can Zinchenko be £35, £40 million? Surely he's got to be a lot less. But it does feel to me like, the Jesus price was largely because of A, the player's desire to leave the club. You know, Manchester City had tried to tie him down on a new contract. They'd put one in front of him. But unfortunately for them, he was unwilling to sign it because he isn't sure. He wasn't convinced that he will be the main man, that he will get the role that he feels he deserves in that Manchester City side after, 5 years of service to the football club? So I think that played a part. Plus the fact that he was going into the final year of his contract meant that City, or from City's perspective, it was kind of a now or never deal. So that's why we were able to get him for that price. I think that 30 to 35 million for Zinchenko is fine. Go ahead and do it. I mean, when you think about it, he was somebody that we were all really keen to see come to the club at the very start of the window. When that rumour first surfaced, there was a lot of positive reaction to that among the fan base. And what happened was, as the window progressed and we started to hear of other targets and other people that Arsenal were looking at, the Zinchenko talk really did quieten down. And I think there was almost a feeling of you know, well, maybe this isn't possible. Maybe this just isn't a deal that we can do. And hence why it's not happening. Hence why Arsenal haven't gone in. Now, I think we can all agree that it seemed and feels as though Lisandro Martinez was the number one priority. And there's actually a line in a piece from The Athletic that I picked up on earlier today where they described Arsenal's feeling towards Lisandro Martinez as, you know, he's something of a unicorn in terms of the way he plays at the fullback position. And remember, The Athletic told us initially that Arsenal were most interested in Lisandro Martinez as a fullback. And I think that may have played a part in him ultimately choosing Manchester United. Yes, there's the Ten Hag factor. Yes, Manchester United are more willing, probably more able to get closer to Ajax's valuation. But I do think the fact that Arsenal viewed him primarily as a left back, according to that report, was probably something that put him off slightly. But there was a feeling that not only would Arsenal be getting a competent defender in Lisandro Martinez, but they'd be getting someone who can help build up the play, which is ultimately a big part of what Arsenal are looking for. Zinchenko is much more a midfielder than he is a fullback. Now, I know he's played in recent times more so at fullback than he has in the centre of midfield for Manchester City, but that's because they've had a real problem in that position. I mean, how many times have they tried to address that specific area of the pitch and just got it horribly, horribly wrong? And then they finally got Mendy in, who looked as though he could be the guy. And then, of course, he's got some issues off the field, which have really, damaged his career and caused Manchester City a problem. And so, again, Zinchenko was having to be called in and drafted into a position that we know is not his preferred position. Now, I think that coming to Arsenal, he'll be well aware of the possibility that he will have to cover that position from time to time. But I think what he'll get in this Arsenal side, and I will be doing a video closer to the start of the season where I'm going to talk about how I think Arsenal are going to look tactically given the signings that we're making, because I've been thinking extensively about this over the last few days. And I started making some notes on my little post-it note pad to kind of keep the ideas there so that I don't lose them or forget them going into the new season. But in a nutshell, I think that the game model that Mikel Arteta wants Arsenal to operate with is very much one that sees our left back step into a more advanced position, more like a midfield position, with Tomiyasu, who's a very specific type of fullback. He's not really a fullback by trade. He's been a centre back for the majority of his career, but he's very specific in terms of his profile in that he's quite comfortable as a centre back as well. And the idea is that the two centre backs, so let's assume it's going to be Gabriel and Ben White, and Tomiyasu can become this midfield, this defensive trio. How many fingers am I holding up? Anyway, this defensive trio, and basically Zinchenko can step into the midfield and help out. And Zinchenko's ability to do both of those roles just makes him a really, really good fit for that game model. The game model is so similar to that of Pep Guardiola. It is so similar in terms of what is being asked of the fullbacks. Now, of course, we ain't got the same quality players as Manchester City, but you can see that a lot of the ideas, a lot of the philosophies that Mikel Arteta is trying to implement are ones that he will have learned and developed under Pep Guardiola. And so to bring another player into the club who understands that, who can help Mikel Arteta embed that at Arsenal Football Club and help him get that message across, not to mention he's a winner, not to mention he's been there, done it, he's been around the block, and he's still got so much to offer at 25 years old. I think this is a really sensible signing and I really, really like it. I'm just hopeful now that we can get it over the line. And based on the noises we're hearing, it is, at the very least, moving in the right direction. Now, nothing's done until it's done. Nothing's done until there's a picture of Zinchenko holding up the Arsenal shirt and it's announced on Arsenal.com. Even the Sky Sports yellow bar that we all used to hold in such high esteem doesn't mean an awful lot anymore. It's all about the club announcement. It's all about Arsenal making that announcement on their website. That's when you know it's done. So I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to curse it. But based on all the noises that we're hearing, it does feel like this is moving, at the very least, the right way. Let me know your thoughts in the chat box. Let me know your thoughts on Zinchenko. How hopeful, on a scale of 1 to 10, in fact, just throw some numbers in the chat box. How hopeful, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you that Arsenal will get this deal done between now and the end of the window? It would be great if we could get it in time for him to join the team on the US tour. It'd be great if we can get him in ahead of the start of the season. Again, like Gabriel Jesus, a player who will need to embed into the team, who will need to start to build those bonds and understand the differences in, of course, the way that Arteta wants to apply his game, you know, because they're not exactly the same. The game models are not exactly the same, but there's a lot of similarities. So he will have to adjust to that. He will have to adjust to new teammates. He's been in a very, I don't want to say comfortable environment, because Pep Guardiola's standards are up here, but in an environment where there hasn't really been all that much difficulty, because of course Manchester City have just been superb for a number of years now. Let's see how it goes. But I think the fact that he's got Premier League experience along with Gabriel Jesus means that in theory, at least, they shouldn't take too long to get into the swing of things. And that could be really, really positive for Arsenal. Let's see what you guys are saying in terms of the likelihood of this deal. Harvey, very optimistic, says 9.5 out of 10. Tahir says 7 out of 10. Dennis, very confident, 10 out of 10. Sophie Zalaz says 10. Steve's gone with 7. We've got nines. We've got a few nines, in fact. 7.874. Very specific. Love it. But it seems, just sort of glancing at the chat, that the vast majority of you believe that this is a really, really, positive bit of news. And it's a deal that we're quite likely to get done. Jay Sayers says, thought your mate Graham said he wouldn't join if he was to play left back. That's of course Graham Bailey over at 90 Min, who was on the show a few weeks ago now and said that. I said to Graham on that show, if you did check it out, that I thought that part of the appeal of him coming to Arsenal, from my perspective, was the fact that he can cover those positions. And I don't for a second believe that he is coming to Arsenal with the possibility of him ever covering at left back being completely ruled out. I don't think he's coming in primarily as that. I think he's coming in primarily as a midfielder. I really do. But I do think that there will be a conversation around that. I think that's a question Zinchenko will undoubtedly ask. And I think the answer will be, if you're part of this team, if you're part of this group, and that's where we need you on any given day, that's where you're going to play. But I think the idea is that he comes in as a midfielder. And I think if you, as long as you can convince him that the majority of his game time will be in his preferred position, I think that's probably going to be enough to show him, you know, that this is going to be a good place for him. Anyway, let's see what else we've got in the chat. Some of you talking about Fabrizio Romano's comments with regards to a winger. We'll touch on that on the next edition of the show, because I haven't really looked into that. We know that Arsenal were in the market for a winger already. We've been linked with a few. So that's not really anything breaking. It's not really anything new. And it feels to me, and I'm not saying that's the case with Fabrizio Romano, okay? Because we know, whatever your thoughts on him, that he's incredibly well connected in the footballing world. If he wasn't, he wouldn't get so many exclusives, okay? But this is one of those where I don't actually think we're getting any new information. I call it, when I'm talking to colleagues and stuff, a bit of a tap-in. That's how I refer to that type of report. You take the evidence that is already on show, the fact that Arsenal went for Rafinha, the fact that Arsenal have been linked with Edin Zagrova and various others, Serge Gnabry, who, by the way, has just signed a new contract with Bayern Munich. So you can pour cold water on that. But it's kind of like you take the evidence that you've already got in front of you and you make an educated guess. Arsenal will look at a winger in the coming weeks. Well, yeah, I'm sure they will. Doesn't mean they're going to get one. So don't get too wrapped up and too caught up in stuff like that, because it's very non-committal reporting. And that obviously is a bit of a red flag when you're looking for how how reliable, or trying to understand how reliable a story might be. Robert Segal in the chat says, if Zinchenko is coming as a defensive left midfielder, will we also go for Paqueta? So I think he's coming in as a defensive number eight. So I don't think he'll be defensive as such. I think he'll be coming in as a midfield number eight, I beg your pardon, to basically play the role that we started to see Granit Xhaka play towards the back end of last season prior to Thomas Partey getting injured and us having to revert to a slightly different system. I don't think he'll be defensive, but I think his defensive capabilities make him a good fit there because he's clearly someone who can drop back, help out when needed, but can also impact the game further up the field. And Charles Watts referred to some comments from Pep Guardiola a little while back now, in which he said that his best position is in a more advanced role. And that, of course, circumstances at City had led to him playing a lot deeper and at left back a lot of the time. But ultimately, he's a very creative player, someone who loves to get on the ball and influence the game much higher up the pitch. So I think he'll be up and down. I don't think he's coming in as a defensive player as such, but I think he does have that capability. As for Paqueta, and of course, Youri Tielemans as well, who we've been very, very heavily linked with, I'm not going to rule us out of moving for either of those two players that I've just mentioned, because I don't want to rule anything out, because I just don't know. But I would say that if we did go out and get this deal done for Zinchenko, I would say, and this is just my opinion, that it significantly reduces our chances of going out and spending big on another midfield player. I really do believe that. If what I'm saying is right, that Zinchenko is being brought in primarily with a view to playing in midfield, I can't see a world in which Arsenal then go out and dump another 40, 45 million pounds in the case of Paqueta on a midfielder. Again, I think that will be it. I really, really do. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I know a lot of people feel that we need more, but that's my opinion. If I kind of lay out the evidence and what I think on the table, that would be the conclusion that I come to, that Zinchenko will be the only midfield incoming. Doesn't mean we won't go for a winger. As I said, Arsenal have shown in this window already that that is a position they are looking at. Whether it'll be a big name signing, I don't know. I'd guess it probably won't be as big a name as Rafinha or as high value in terms of the price as the Rafinha deal could have been. He's confirmed to Barcelona today, by the way, as well. But I think in terms of midfield, I think Zinchenko will be it. Now, if I were Arsenal, I might be tempted to go Nick Tielemans if he's still available towards the back end of the window for that 25, 30 million pound price tag that we heard about earlier on this summer. I might be tempted to go in and do that. But I guess that could be dependent on some of the players we move out, right? Are we going to get any of those players out anytime soon? There are so many on that list. You've got Bern Leno, who we believe could be on his way to Fulham, but there's not really been, at least that we know about, any movement on that just yet. Lucas Torreira has got an agreement in principle, we understand, from a personal terms perspective, with Valencia. Can Arsenal and Valencia find an agreement there? Will Hector Bellerin leave the club? Will Maitland Niles? Will Reece Nelson? Will Nicolas Pepe depart? We heard yesterday that Sevilla have shown an interest in the player. So I think Zinchenko will be the big signing. And then I think anything else that we manage to do in this window could be held up, or even to a degree dependent on when, how quickly, and how much we get in for those players that I've mentioned who are all in line to potentially depart this summer. So, yeah, great question, mate. Great question. Right. We're going to touch on a couple more stories, but before we do that, I just want to quickly remind you, if you haven't done so already, please leave a like on the video. There's over 655 of you watching me live right now on YouTube alone. If you're watching us live or you're watching this back on replay, please do hit the like button. Let's set a target of 300 likes. It should be easy work, given how many of you are here. It doesn't cost a thing. Scroll down to the bottom, click on the like button. It really, really does help. Also, please subscribe to the channel if you're new, because we are less than 100 subscribers away from hitting that 23K mark, which will be another big step towards the 25K that I've set as a target by Christmas. So please, please do hit the like button and subscribe to the channel if you are new. Okay, let's move on. Let's touch on Omari Hutchinson. This one caught me completely off guard. I mean, I've been asked the question quite a bit in recent weeks, you know, when while we've been, you know, talking transfers and trying to work out how the team might look next season. One of the big questions has been, Harry, who do you think from the under-23s, who do you think from the development sides is the most likely to break through, is the most likely to have a future? And I kept saying to you guys, look, I haven't watched an awful lot of these players, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I just don't have enough hours in the day to watch all the football that I need to be across. So I admit that in terms of the younger sides and in terms of Arsenal women, I'm not really where I should be from a knowledge perspective. But Omari Hutchinson is one of the names that was constantly thrown at me. And whenever I've watched highlight reels of him, whenever I've seen clips of some of the things he's been doing, as Charles Watts described him earlier today, he very much is a walking highlight reel. I love that comment. And so to lose him is disappointing, because you'd have argued that he was one of the players that was maybe the closest to showing something. You hear about Flores as well, another player who people have very, very high hopes for. Listen, if I was Omari Hutchinson, okay, I would be thinking about my career in the longer term, okay? And this is my thoughts on it. And I don't know Omari Hutchinson. I don't know an awful lot about him. I've never spoken to him. I've never interviewed him. I can't talk about the guy's character. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to be one of these guys that goes, he's going for the money, when I don't know that. You know, I've got no indication that that is the reason he's going. I can have a theory and I can have an opinion, but it would be based on nothing other than my view, which doesn't really count for an awful lot. But I'm going to share it with you guys anyway. So I'm Omari Hutchinson. I'm at a football club that has shown over the last few years that they are more than willing to give young players opportunities and huge responsibility. Of course, the player has to be good enough. Of course, the player has to prove that they're worthy of being given that trust. And of course, the player has to go out on the pitch week in, week out and perform. But you think about it and you look at Bukayo Saka, right? Incredible breakthrough, was playing at left back, you know, ended up moving further up the pitch where I believe he's much more comfortable, he's much more effective, and is now a key part of the squad. Probably, arguably, in a lot of people's eyes, Arsenal's most prized asset at the moment. Given the number 7 shirt, big responsibility. Gabriel Martinelli, just been given the number 11 shirt, new contract, etc. Well, the contract was when he signed it. But the point I'm trying to make is they've tied him down. They want to give him more. They want to do the same with Saka. They want to do the same with Smith Rowe, who was also given the number 10 shirt. Eddie Nketiah has been given the number 14 and given a very, very lucrative contract. What Arsenal have done is very much, in my opinion, displayed a willingness to give these guys a chance. If I was a young player coming through the ranks, I would look at that and say, okay, this more than most is the club for me. This more than most is a club that not only is huge in stature and has a stature and a tradition and a history bigger than most football clubs in the world, let alone in this country. Not only am I at one of these, let's say, heritage football clubs, but I also, because of the way they operate and because of the approach and the project that they're currently embarking on, I have a great chance of moving forward. Why isn't he signed? Why have the talks broken down? You cannot convince me, no one can convince me, in fact, that at Chelsea, where he's rumoured to be going, Omari Hutchinson has a clearer path to first-team football. I'm not having that. What he might end up doing or having done to him at Chelsea is he might get a few games for the under-23s. We believe he's going to go there and join up with the under-23s squad. So it's not like he's moving into the first-team squad. He's going to go and join up with the under-23s, and Chelsea are going to do what they do with every player that comes through in their under-23s. They loan them out and then they decide, yeah, actually, maybe he's not quite at the level. Let's sell him. Let's get a bit of money in. The examples of players at Chelsea who have gone out on loan and come back and had good Chelsea careers, there are a few, but there's not an awful lot in comparison to the amount of players that they loan out, is the point I'm trying to make. Yeah, you can touch on Mason Mount. Okay, went out to Derby, played quite well. Frank Lampard was there, got given an opportunity. But you think about some of the others that they've had over the years. You know, Conor Gallagher, has he got a future there? Will he play this season? Armando Broja is another one. Will he get an opportunity to play at Chelsea? It seems to me like he's probably going to be sold. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the only time that Chelsea, the only era in recent history in which Chelsea looked like they were going to give players, young players, under their books, an opportunity was when they were banned from making transfers. And that's gone now. So what makes people think that Chelsea would give him a clearer path to the first team? If he was going to Everton, or if he was going to, and I'm just plucking out clubs, you know, Leicester, or I don't know, Southampton, because he wanted to get closer to the first team and wanted to play first team football, I'd be disappointed, but I'd understand it. I just don't get why he would feel that Chelsea offer him a clearer path to first team football than Arsenal, which then sparks all the talk and is what creates this theory among a lot of Arsenal fans. Well, he's probably gone for the money. Because from a footballing perspective, if you think about it logically, it doesn't really make sense. So this did catch me by surprise. It really, really did. Want to quickly talk a little bit about Austin Trusty as well, because Austin Trusty, who of course was signed by the Gunners, is going to go out on loan. We knew that that was the plan from the minute Arsenal announced that, you know, they'd captured the player. We knew that they were going to loan him out, and Birmingham City is his next destination. It's been announced on the club's website. It's been announced by Birmingham City as well. He talks about how excited he is to be in English football, how excited he is to kind of get stuck in and really try and develop his game and kind of then in the future fight for his place at Arsenal. Birmingham City is a decent move because it's a decent-ish sized football club. It's quite a big football club in comparison to a lot of clubs. Not in a good way at the moment, though, it has to be said. There's a lot of speculation at the moment about their ownership. You know, who is going to, Lawrence Bassini, who is the man who's rumoured to be looking to take them over, has been painted in a really bad light, I would say, you know, over the last few months and based on business deals in the world of football that he's tried to do in the past. So not the most stable of environments, but he's going to get to play in the Championship and he's going to play at a club where there is a particularly, you know, strong fan base, and there will be a lot of scrutiny on Austin Trusty. And I've always said this, even though the level is not the same, and it can be between the Premier League and the French League or the Premier League and the Championship, being in high-pressured environments at whatever level is good because it gets you used to that extreme scrutiny. And at Birmingham City, given all the ownership issues, given the issues with the managers, et cetera, over recent years, there'll always be that scrutiny there. And so I think that prepares you for then going into a pressure cooker that is Arsenal. Would I be surprised, though, if Trusty never played for Arsenal in the Premier League? Probably not, because I've still got serious doubts about whether he's at that level. And that's not personal to him. It's not me trying to dig him out or anything like that. I'm unconvinced at the moment. So this is a really good opportunity for us as Arsenal fans to have a much closer look at a player. Yeah, it's not in our division. Okay, it's at Birmingham City, but it's a lot closer to home. And I, for one, know that it'll be much more accessible to keep an eye on him than it will be if he was playing in the States still, or if he'd gone somewhere else abroad to carry out his loan spell. So look, let's see. Let's see how it goes. But those are the main stories from the Arsenal world today. Let's just quickly recap. Arsenal's talks with Manchester City over Oleksandr Zinchenko are said to be progressing well, which is great news. There is a feeling among some that he could even join Arsenal on their US tour, which is fantastic news. Hopefully we can wrap it up that quick. It is Arsenal and we don't normally wrap things up quickly, but maybe this one might be a little bit more straightforward given that we are clearly leading the race and there isn't a Manchester United breathing down our neck, driving up the price and essentially getting ripped off for the player in the end, which I do believe they have, it has happened to them now with Lisandro Martinez. They have gone a little bit beyond what I think was a fair price for the player, but Who cares? It's their money, right? Whatever. But yeah, Arsenal moving forward in their talks for Alexander Zinchenko. Elsewhere, Omari Hutchinson, according to reports, is off to Chelsea. Strange one. As I've said, I can't get my head around it. Don't understand how he can think there's a clearer path to first team football via Chelsea than at Arsenal. But hey ho, it is what it is. Not going to lose a load of sleep over it, but it is a little bit disappointing. And then, of course, I want to touch on Austin Trusty, who we've just been speaking about, who has completed his loan move to Birmingham City as he begins his adaptation to English football. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in. As always, not going to do a Q&A today just because I'm a little bit pushed for time, but we will be bringing you some more content over the duration of the weekend. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. Now, I did say to our members in the Discord server that I might do a watch along for the friendly, which is coming up tomorrow night, UK time, really late at night, midnight our time. I said I'd try and do a watch along. I don't know if I'm going to do it just yet. And the reason for that is because, as I've mentioned to you, I am traveling to Reading tomorrow to cover Reading versus West Ham United on BBC London. So you can join me there for updates if you'd like. It is a long way. I'm going to have to leave early. I'm going to get back late. I've got a birthday party to go to in between that, in between my return and then the Arsenal game. And I just don't know if I'm going to be like up for it. And I don't want to do it if I'm going to half-ass it. You know, I don't want to do a watch along if I'm not going to be all in on it. And it's going to be between 12 and 2 a.m. here, and I could be absolutely shattered. So if I feel good, if I feel okay, then I'll do it, but I won't commit 100%. So apologies for that. I'm talking about non-committal reports and how annoying they are when I'm being non-committal here. But I'll see. I might just watch the game, make a few notes, and then jump on bright and early on Sunday morning when I'm refreshed and do a review episode then. That might be the better option. It's probably the most likely option. But anyway, okay, I'll catch you all soon. Take care. Thank you so much. Like, subscribe. You know the drill by now. We'll be back very soon with more. Until next time, goodbye.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.